you either just started off by saying enough, like I'm done with this, or you said that's good enough.
That's good enough is exactly what I said. But I do love the word enough. It is so powerful. Oh, it's
powerful.
I throw it to my dogs.
Enough.
When they're just being absolute, just madlings, I will throw out like, enough. All right, guys. Like,
it is
going. They're going out.
Powerful is the word. Perfect word for that. It's a very final. It says, I am done with this.
Mm-hmm.
It says I have had enough, but also it says fucking knock it off.
Yeah. Mm. Enough. Mm. Ooh, enough. I love it.
That's one of the ones that, like, if someone said it to me, I'd be like, I would be cowering a little bit.
It's a little bit of a yes, mommy kind of moment.
Yeah.
You're just like,
yeah. Oh, oh,
oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm.
Well, I guess so.
Dude, I feel like a child waiting for the Santa Man to come to me right now.
The Santa Man.
Because the Santa Man. I am waiting and I'm watching and I'm listening right now.
For?
To people fusing fiber internet into my fucking house.
Did you say into your house or into your ass?
Into my house, but it might as well be at this point. It's a very close wish.
You cut out a little bit and I heard people fusing internet into my ass.
Yeah. I equate this.
Is that actually happening?
I'm ready.
Here's the thing, Macy. I feel like you wrote me at some point, like, they're going to be putting internet out here. And my brain kind of went, I'll believe it when I see it. So,
dude, I got that confirmation in multiple. We're all so suspicious out here because we've been burned so many times on people like the county or the state being like, yeah, we're going to put internet out. And then I guess someone just robs and embezzles all the money. I don't know, but it never happens. And so yesterday there was like people riding four wheelers around in my driveway. And I looked out the window and I was like, what? And it was like workers and like neons riding four wheelers around in my driveway. And they were throwing shit up in like power lines and stuff. And I was like, what the hell? So I didn't know what it was. But I asked my mom, because we live on the same, like by each other. I was like, do you see what the truck is? Who are these people that are at the house? And it was like a fiber truck.
Oh, my
and
God.
So they were running that. And I was like, all right, well, that's fucking sweet. Into that. And then today when I was driving to the studio to teach my class, I saw they were burying the lines like perpendicular on the road. And I was just like, oh my God, like we're going to have actual functional real world internet.
Do you?
And I can't even believe it.
Understand how this is going to change everything?
Everything. Everything.
And I
dude.
Don't
like
listen.
I Hunter, if Hunter had hair, it would be blown back from the seagull meme that I shouted at him when I was talking to him. Like, this is going to change the podcast completely. This changes everything. Oh,
that's what I was thinking. I was like, listen, I hate to immediately take it to a thing that involves me because, like, yeah, your personal life is going to be so fucking sweet, but also, like, the podcast, like,
dude. We could do whatever we want.
We
could post and like use Patreon content. We could do OnlyFans again. We could do Patreon content, recording all of the sessions that we do, post those on Patreon, or like use snippets for social media, which would be fucking helpful. We could Twitch stream, dude.
We could
Twitch.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. We could do it together because, listen, and this is kind of something I wanted to talk about a little bit today. One of my resolutions, and we have a whole podcast back in the day talking about resolutions are bullshit. So yeah, call me on it. But look, one of my resolutions next year, just for after all the craziness of this season, is to get back into the Twitch life a little bit. And listen, you are going to play motherfucking Stardew Valley with me. I will strap you down and clockwork orange you into it.
It looks fun. It looks really pretty.
Right.
And I just can't believe it. Like, the concept of gaming is so beyond possibility right now. Like, it's in the idea of like being able to like do that in my little office back here.
Yeah.
I just can't. To those of you that have lived with good infrastructure in this regard, like, this might sound like the most backwoods shit, but like, I feel like I am getting to plug into the world. Finally.
It's okay. If you're old enough to remember, if you are around Macy and I's age, probably a little, you know, maybe a little younger and older. It's that feeling of, do you remember moving from dial up to something better? Like, whatever it was, you know, but like,
like after dial up, it stayed the same pretty much until, hotspots.
Okay.
And shit like that.
I was stupid question, I guess, because we're still dealing with the same section.
Yeah, but I know exactly what you mean. Like, developments like that.
Yeah, when you get on it, like, and you go to a website and it loads.
When I got my first computer.
Oh, baby.
You know, and like, it feels like that.
Tits fall off? Because it's so fast? Ah! Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. Dude, I'm not going to have to go to Walmart to upload my yoga classes. I'll just be able to upload them,
dude,
like a normal person.
Fucking stream your logo, your yoga
branding
live. Like, if you felt like it. I'm not telling
so
you
many
to do.
Options.
I'm just saying there's options.
So many options.
You know,
and
what
it's
going to
change everything.
You. Listen, this is what we need to do. Listen, I'm cooking up a plan. We need to get some way that you can play Ocarina of Time. And we need to stream that together. And I will...
No, this has been one of my dreams
since... I will
since
watch and commentate
forever.
On you playing Ocarina of Time. And it'll be a whole thing. It'll be great.
We should do... You know what we could do? We could do it every week and we alternate. It doesn't matter if we finish the temple or not. Mm. We just alternate every single week. And your controller this week. It's my controller this week. And you watch or you don't. And we just see who covers the most ground.
I wonder if there's got to be an easy way to share. Maybe we could share like a Steam account. We could get like a business Wabah Steam account. And then, listen
for
to
real
me,
though.
Fucking tax write-off. Can we write off a fucking stream? What's it called? A Switch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, but like I'm ready.
Yeah.
I want to do this so bad.
Yeah.
I've wanted to do Ocarina of Time so badly with you.
Okay.
Since the beginning.
100%. Okay, so that's, I feel like we put that on the Waba resolution to-do list.
Yeah. And I'd like to get that going soon.
Oh, absolutely. That should be like a...
Because according to the guys that are installing the internet, they told our shared grandfather who walked on out there to kind
of
see what was going on.
He's fucking fey. He just appeared. He materialized and he has to protect property. Yes.
He's like the guy who folds out of the crack of the wall. He's just going to show up and drop something on you.
That was Papa, I'd be like, yes. Okay. I'm not shocked.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, fairy forest spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked out, and they said within the month, dude. So, like, my birthday gift to me might be hot, fresh internet.
Dude, you might
that I don't have to pay the absolute dill hole satellite sky fuck to give me, which was something I was not wanting to do
because
it's in the area. It's in the area, and I've known it for 2 months. And I'm like, we could probably do it. And I've been like,
I just feel like anything could knock that out. I just feel like a storm could come through and it blows all the radio waves away or whatever. I don't know.
I don't know about that, but I was worried about it because I live in such a tree cover area anyway.
Yeah.
But this
Well, do you have exposure to the southern sky?
Yeah.
That's what they used to say, right?
The southern sky. All I know is fiber is the shit that I wanted.
Yes.
And I didn't even ask for it. It just appeared. And I feel so chuffed.
Okay. You haven't asked for it, but you have bitched about the lack of it, which I feel like is just asking for it with extra steps.
Oh, yes. No, I did not ask this company. I've called and asked other companies. I've been like, can you please just like come out here? And they're like, sure, buy a $15,000 tower and we'll talk. And it's like, So finally, and I never even had to ask for this. They just showed up and ran the line. It's such,
yes.
Dude, I'm so excited. It's just so good.
Who's the god of internet? What god do we need to put up an altar to today? Who do you think that would be? Communication? Maybe Hermes?
Hermes? I don't know. Were you gonna say Hermes?
Yes.
Okay.
I was trying to, but I always fuck it up and confuse it with like the luxury brand, and I go for like Hermes.
Great. Yeah, that's a fun one. Ooh, that's a fun one. We'll have to. What do y'all think? Who's the god of the internet? Like, as if we throw like a Good Omens spin on it, to where like they had to upgrade, now there's pollution. You know, as one of the horsemen. It's like, what if we've upgraded and like modernized, and I guess this would kind of be like American gods too, like modern gods. Yes. What is the god of the internet? They've adapted.
Listen, okay. Ooh, we could, okay. There could be several, because like Dionysus could very easily be the god of the internet, because like,
I feel like he's definitely the god of meme culture.
Oh yeah. And, like, maybe the dark web.
I don't know. I don't know. I feel like there's a handful of deities that could be, that could have a hand in the dark web.
Depending on, like, what part of, if you're there to, like, buy some reefer.
If you're there to buy drugs and mushrooms and shit, absolutely Dionysus.
Yeah. If you're there for not cool shit, I don't want to talk about it. But it's definite, he's got a hand in there somewhere. He's dipping a toe in. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Let's see. Let's talk about witchcraft, I guess, on this witchcraft podcast. I'm blown away. I'm sorry. I am so actually excited in a very true kind of way.
It's a reeling feeling, because it's like the implications are huge.
I don't even fucking live there, but I have spent a large enough portion of my life to understand what this means. So like, I'm so excited. You guys, please let us know in any which way you choose, whether it be on our Facebook or like an email. You could send us a fucking pigeon. What's that pigeon that got shot through the ass, but it lived?
Oh, it got shot through more than its ass. I think was its name.
Send us that guy.
Whoa.
And tell us what do you want us to see? What do you want to see us do? There's so many things that we have been like, I want to do this, but we can't because internet problems. You know what I mean? So like, what can we do now that the country ass internet shall be no more?
Dude, and so that I was talking to Hunter about yesterday, I was like, you know what else I can't wait for? To write our current provider and a just basically send a picture of the middle finger and say, sit and spin, you motherfuckers. Like, I'm so done with you. I hate each and every one of you individually. Like, I don't wish you a Merry Christmas.
Do like a sour jar. Just send it to them.
I would. Like, fuck off, dude, they are so, the circles that this company has put me in, like, they are absolute Colin Robinson energy vampires on the other side of that computer,
bro,
or a keyboard. Like, they've been like, all right, go pull up this file. Okay, all right, send me a screenshot of that file. All right, pull up that down down
now
bar.
You're gonna
there.
Wanna send me a screenshot of that file.
I did that for 8 hours one day, and it was for nothing. And so then the next time it broke, like a script, I got an email that was like, send me a screenshot. And then I was like, oh my god. They never actually fix anything. They just do this spiel until people get tired.
They're eating at the buffet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I ran into a dude the other day. I forget. It was fucking Walmart or some shit. I don't know. But this dude, it was like he was cosplaying as Colin Robinson. Same fit.
Fantastic.
Same, like, first of all, fucking fantastic. You can rip on Colin Robinson all you want. I think he's got mad drip. I don't care. I don't care what anyone says.
I love Colin Robinson's
his little
confidence
sweater vest
and style.
And
it's
dude,
badass.
It's the confidence that lets it happen. But this guy had the same fucking fit, like khaki pants, beige sweater vest type thing. He had like the same hair, like kind of bald on top, but like the short, mm-hmm. like lower part. He had the glasses. Same build, height, like the way he stood. I could have been on a prank show if I interacted with this guy. I don't know. But like, and the way he was there with what I assumed to be his partner and was telling them like, well, okay, I think we need to get the wheat thins because last time we got, and I ran away to laugh. And that's all I heard.
I'm going
to
get drained.
Yeah. I barrel rolled out of there, dude.
That's awesome.
But I have never had like a more on the nose situation. Because, you know, you'll run into people and be like, oh, they kind of look like, yeah, fucking
essence
so-and-so.
Of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this was beautiful.
Concentration of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Concentrate.
Shall we get into topics, what we're here for today?
I think we should.
Okay. Listen, Macy, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about sassafras.
Dude, ooh, sarsaparilla. Yeah, dude. I know it's
different thing.
I know it's a different thing.
But yeah.
Here's my thought process. I was thinking of the beverage that you can drink in New Vegas, Fallout New Vegas. And I forget the name of it right now. And I know there's somebody.
Well, there's
who's
a really
like,
good reason for that. And we're going to get into it.
Good.
Because sassafras and sarsaparilla yes. have been intertwined often, except for modern day, because we're going to talk about it. Dude, surprising developments with the sassafras.
Is it the tree that gives you cancer?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
No.
I'm going to talk to you about like some stuff that I want to bring back. I want to talk about the concept of stuff we did in our early witch days that we don't do that much anymore, but we want to bring it back because I'm feeling nostalgic. We got Yule right around the corner. I'm feeling nostalgic Christmas this year. I always like New Year's, even though the New Year's song bums me out, but like in a good way. You know, the...
I think it's a really pretty song. It's fun to sing.
It's fun to sing when you're sloshed. It's easy to sing when you're sloshed. anyway, that's kind of a nostalgic one for me. The holidays are just I'm just living in the past right now, but in an okay way. I'm okay. Don't worry about it.
In a way that's healthy.
In a way that's healthy and fine and temporary. But okay. I just wanted to talk about some things that, you know, what have we used to do that we want to bring back? And listen, after all this big ass number of 18 minutes in to the show, we've got a Patreon shout out. For you. I thought you were going to react. Okay. Today's episode. You can tell that it's the end of the year. You can tell the end of the year is coming up because we have very like Friday before a long weekend vibes.
That's how I feel today. Yeah. Honestly, I'm so drunk on internet news. Anything else has fallen to the
dude,
wayside
I'm buzzing.
For me. I'm not even processing new information.
I love all. That for you. I'm very... Dude, yeah. Just to be able to go back to recording with our cameras on is going to
yeah,
be
people
awesome.
Don't know that. Me and you don't get to record and see each other's faces. That's how bad it is.
Right, yeah.
Like,
because you
that's
you
how
could.
Bad.
You could do, on a good day, you could flip your camera on and it would still make us laggy. Like when we
yeah.
Think about back in 2020 times when we were just figuring out how to do this remotely. Because people do podcasts remotely all the time. And I'm like, why can't we figure this out?
Yeah.
It wasn't solely the internet. It was also like a lot of user error involved. But
yeah.
A lot of it was us figuring out what we could and could not take. And then I lived in an area that also had shitty internet for a while. And so it was just this culmination. And now, dude, to see your face when we talk about whatever we're simp capping is going to be wonderful.
It's going to change simp cap. Everybody, we'll just post the whole video.
No, absolutely.
Recording of simp cap.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Go nuts.
And also one of the things that I'm doing here when there's a change of home coming up again. But when the settle down happens, I'm wanting to deck out a recording space. It'll be like what I Twitch from, you know, and so it'll have like, YouTuber girl vibes. I want like the neon lights or whatever's popular.
I'm excited for that. Having just set up a little space for myself back here, that's an official office. I'm excited for you to have a little space and we can really look cute.
And we can, oh my God. And we can fucking record and talk to, it will be like a real goddamn podcast is what we'll be like. five fucking years in.
Oh, who's our Patreon? I got distracted.
Oh, Patreon, sorry. Okay, yes, today's episode, so sorry, is dedicated to you, Priscilla R. I love the name Priscilla.
Priscilla R, that's a really good name. Priscilla R, how could you cry for me? 'Cause I don't feel bad about it. So shut your eyes, kiss me goodbye, and slay.
I'll be in the background. I'll be the one in the background that just screams, "Wake up!" That'll be also kind of Mario-esque.
The best, what, often my favorite.
One of the best on the top three on that album for me.
Yeah, they shuffle around with me, but it's always up there.
Yeah. We're talking about, in case you don't know, MCR's Black Parade album.
Sleep.
Which I still say we simp cap one day. Maybe like a wimp cap, actually.
Dude, it'd be fantastic. I'd love that so much. We should do that, absolutely.
I go first, so I'm gonna talk at you, and I hope that we can talk together. Because like I said, I want to be upfront with this. I want to tell people my struggle here. I like to have my topic done and dusted, like, a good amount of time before we record. You know what I mean? So it's plenty of time to kind of chew it down, format it the way I want it, and just sort of have an idea of what I'm talking about. But today, dude, it just kept going by so slowly. And every time I checked the clock, it was closer and closer. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. And my heart wasn't in it to just be like, just pick a stone or whatever. I could not bring myself to do it. And I was like, okay. Conversation topic, you know, because those are always just a kind of an easy outline, and then we can get into them kind of the way that we do in our bonus episodes over on Patreon, patreon.com/wabah. give the gift of SimpCap. and I was like, okay, but what about? So I just sat here for the past, I don't know, 30 minutes, however long it's been, since I wrote you, what I wrote you was just like, dude, I'm struggling. I've just been sitting here racking my brain, like, what do I want to talk about? What feels genuine and good to talk about? And I went and I looked on our conversation starter thread our bonus episode comes out for the top tier, you gold star class, diamond butthole having Patreons.
Wow.
The second November bonus comes out today. And we talk all about how we're going to blow that list up. But I saw someone asking about a tarot series, which we've thought about. It's just we're not. Every time I think about starting a tarot series, it makes me feel like such an imposter because we're not experts, and we've talked to people who are like experts about it, right? So starting a series where I tell you about tarot cards feels like I'm a fucking chump because it's like I don't know that much about it. I'm gonna sit here and what I'm gonna tell you about the Chariot. I don't know.
I think it's fine. For me it's just more overwhelming because there's too goddamn many of them.
Yeah, there's a lot. A major arcana series, I think, might be in the works. However, it would be like a beginner's take on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tarot got me thinking. I was like, man, I haven't really done cards in a while. And it's because just the shuffling. I've shuffled to and fro for a while now, and I just feel like a lot of my shit is packed away, and it's really mm-hmm. taught me about what you do and do not need for witchcraft. You know what I mean? And truly, mm-hmm. when people mm-hmm. are like, you don't need anything, you don't need anything.
No.
And then what you do have on top of that is nice, because it's like when I did kind of stumble upon a deck that I had that was out of storage, basically. And I sat there, I was like, oh my God, this is so nice. You know, I played with it for a little while, although it did feel a little bit like, I'm not going to give you everything because, like, who are you? You know? but anyway, it sparked in me. I was like, that's something I used to do a lot, whether it be tarot or oracle cards. And we do have an episode on the difference. I would like to maybe redo that one of these days, because I don't know how much episode, what, four? Episode four me Dude, knew about that. But
everything below, like, episode 30, I just yeah, feel like... Yeah,
57. I truly have thought about when is going to be the redo. And I might... I'm making a lot of, and I make no promises here. I'm making a lot of, this is excited, Charlie, talking about the new year and stuff. But I just, ideas are springing forth. I'm like, what if 2024 is like the year of the redo? You know, like once a month, revisit an old topic. You know, can we talk about smoke cleansing without being absolutely like... incorrect and
primarily those are the ones that I want to separate it out, because I don't want to go too insane and just like
redo everything,
redo all of them, but like pick out the ones, the Palo Santo, you know, the
salt,
the sage.
I would love to redo the salt
and redo those ones. That I would love to redo the Cosmic Serpent. I did such a shit. I didn't know how to like do a book based on stuff. You know, like I've covered more books now, especially after doing Cushiel's Dart for SimCap. I could, dude, because Cosmic Serpent is small.
In,
dude, I know so much about that book. A friend of mine's reading it right now, and I realized like I could pull such an endless, pointless well.
Yes.
About this book.
Yes.
It, so easily.
Yes.
But like, things like that, that I would just like to do with finesse that has been learned from years of podcasting and studying better.
Yeah. And just knowing things and just being better at what we do, you know? I have a question, and this is very off topic, sort of. I have a question about, what is it? ACOTAR? Is it ACOTAR? Is that the correct?
What?
Is that related at all to Cushiel's Dart? Because from I've not read ACOTAR, I know nothing about it, but I hear a lot of like crossover things. Like I hear a lot of very similar sounding things, like something Night Court.
That's about it.
There's also someone named Phaedra, isn't there?
It's Phaedra.
Okay,
so
close enough.
But it's spelled Fairy.
Heathen as myself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Big time difference. It was actually in finishing ACOTAR that I reread Cushiel's Dart for our series. And Cushiel's Dart was the cold water of realization. Just how many issues I had with ACOTAR. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Like I finished it. I was like, man, that was pretty fun. And then like Cushiel's Dart was like the post come down.
Coming tonight.
Yes, and dude. I was just like, oh, wow, there was some, that was weird. And it kind of, you know, you think about things after the fact, after you read it. And it's like, when are we all going to talk about the absolute issues with this book?
yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I want to read ACOTAR, though, because I want to be in on it. I know that's, like, the thing right now. Like, a lot of people are, I see so much stuff, like, on Book Talk and stuff about ACOTAR, and I'm just like, I want to know the jokes.
It's cake.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I can go with some cake.
It's cake.
All right.
Yeah, it's cake. The fifth book, in my opinion, made me raise my eyebrows
for a multitude
of reasons. If I have them. And not in the good way, like in the kind of way.
Ooh, okay. Woof.
And so, yeah. But, you know, to each their own.
Hmm. Well, since I have nothing to relate it to, I'm just going to move on with what I was talking about.
Great.
Tarot. So that was something that was very important to me, I feel like, back in the early days. I did like a daily card pool. I did like, did it sound like I said carpool? Because I feel like it sounded like
no.
Card pool.
It did not.
I consulted cards for so many goddamn things. Cards was probably my go-to divination source. And through however many years it has been, I guess 6 years of being a witch, because we started this podcast basically at the awakening.
At the beginning.
Essentially, for both of us. So it's easy to kind of keep track of that, to be like, yeah, I'm still a sub 10-year witch. So that's pretty cool.
Yes.
But I have learned through my time here that fire divination is my favorite, my yes. most comfortable. It's what I get the most out of. But in the beginning, cards were right up there with it. And I would really, truly, and I have so many decks. I have so many interesting Oracle decks. I love the leeway that an Oracle deck gives you. And I love the open yeah. creativeness that it allows people to make Oracle deck. Like, the Kim Kranz ones, you know, like the Oracle, the wild animal, whatever it's called, the animal
oh,
deck.
Yeah. That was the first one that I remember you having.
Well, that was what we pulled a card from our very first episode before we recorded our very first episode. And and since then, it has just branched out. And I love that openness of communication with that. But I also love the directness of a tarot. I love the deep tie that it has to, hey, look, this means something, but you can put it into use. You can relate it to the other cards and, of course, what's going on in your life. But it has a specific meaning. Like, don't twist this one around. I'm telling you something. What about your early days? I know that you are not a tarot. You're not a tarot girly now, or a card girly now.
I never really have been. I mean, really, it for me, never if did I was doing divination, it was going to be runes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because runes were there for me, literally on day one.
Yeah,
they were one of the foundational elements of everything.
Do you still have that
set? Oh, absolutely. If I didn't, I'm pretty sure their spirits would choke me out in my sleep and like cut my tongue out or something. It'd not be good for me.
The alligator that it comes from would find you.
Yeah, yeah. It would. And it would just take
humane
me out.
Kill.
No, I still do. A humane kill. Yeah. It really, I don't divine very much. Uh-huh. If I use my runes now, usually I use them as like sources of power for spell crafting. So I will use that symbol and the because a lot of them they're like forces of nature and things like that, and these grand big universal concepts and earthly concepts. So I'll apply those, but I haven't done a reading in a long time. And interestingly, the set doesn't really like to read for me. It likes to read for other people.
Well, I was gonna say I think you have a great ability and a great talent for reading, at least for other people, because you know, when we read for ourselves, we don't typically just let people watch and like say what we're doing out loud. But I have seen you give readings before to people, and I think that you have a wonderful talent for it. I know that's
it
not
feels
really, really
natural
good.
In the moment.
Yeah.
It never feels natural for me, but I, especially the day, like when we did the retreat that we went on in 2019, I read for like 8 or 9 people pretty much in round table fashion that day, and it felt plugged in.
Well,
and
it was also the house and we were full of witches that day, and just everything was popping off. I also remember with the person who won the giveaway where they came out for the full day of, I believe it was like the full Saturday. Mm-hmm. I remember sitting with that person and doing readings, and for the first time, like kind of bouncing things off this person, and they were bouncing things off of me, because you remember how it was set up? There was like basically stations. There was like a card station for you to like go try your hand out. And then there was like water scrying, and then there was like flame. And then there was just like a bunch of different crystals and stuff like that. And I remember kind of hitting the different pockets with this person and just being like getting very similar being very tied in and being like, oh shit, you know, and I think about that a lot. Because in any time that I'm doing any kind of divination and I kind of think to myself, now am I just, is this confirmation bias or is this, yeah, you know, if you kind of start to talk yourself out of it. Sometimes I think about that moment and I'm like, remember when you both saw the nun for no reason? Okay. What about that?
See? Like, what about that?
But yeah, no, that's something I feel like would kind of restarting would get back. Another one is like little daily rituals were used to be very important, yes, to me. I would wake up every day, and I remember saying this many a time early on, like, oh, every day I will wake up and one of the first things I do is I light the candle on my stove. And I had something that I said, I think it was like, I light this candle for the women and witches before me. I would have something different now, I believe, to say, but that's what I said then, and that's what meant something, yeah, to me, you know, and I'd light the candle, and it was sort of like, you're not forgotten, like, I get to easily just light this candle, but, like, you guys had to keep it tight all the time. And I just think little routines like that, I'm going to try to slowly work that shit back in, but I want to ask you, Macy, what is something that was hella important to you early on that you've fallen out of that you don't, because like, here's the thing. A lot of things when you first start out, you're trying a little bit of everything. It's a big smorgasbord. And some things that are like, oh, I feel like I have to do this every day because this is what a real witch does. A few years down the line, you're like, no, maybe not so much. Not for me. But like, what is something you did that you're like, don't know why I stopped that. I should bring it back.
There's, it's kind of tricky because there's a few different things that kind of manifested in different ways, but they were a bit more focused, I guess you can say, in the early days. And a lot of that, you know, I think of things like the mirror ritual.
Oh, you know, oh my God.
Use like that kind of movement and set the scene and kind of utilized my reflection in that regard. And I don't remember how early on that is. That's way back there.
Wow. I haven't thought about that in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is different for me now. But it has roots that are kind of similar, you know, because utilizing movement and focus was kind of at the root of it, as well as reflection, of course. And I fell off of doing that weirdly because I just didn't feel like I needed it anymore.
Yeah.
But it manifested in movement that I still do now. I, you know, my asana practice, my yoga practice, like that's energy manipulation in its like traditional sense. Like you're getting into like the subtle body when you're talking about hatha yoga. That's what you're getting into that.
I don't do
and so it's like that's
yoga.
It's changed. Hatha.
No, I know.
hot yoga. I've actually never done hot yoga. It sounds wet, but
so much butt sweat.
So I'm still moving, you know, and I still use that focused intentional movement, but it's just kind of changed. And part of it is that, but also I can't be super chuffed with myself because, and this is a statement that I used back then and I use now as just a personal mantra, which is complacency breeds atrophy. And I've experienced that in my practice because you get to a certain point of like, well, I know I'm capable of this and I know that I don't need to do all of these big grand steps to make anything happen, but therefore I don't.
Right.
I don't do dick shit. And I think that's where the pendulum kind of needs to swing back to the middle for me sometimes, especially right now, because like I operate knowing, yeah, I can like blow the doors in, but I don't, you know,
exactly.
I'm not doing anything.
We've said that before. We've talked about how like, and I just said it just a second ago, you don't need anything to do witchcraft. Like we say that a lot and we say, oh, you don't need to do X, Y, Z, you don't need, but sometimes doing it, I have found when I do need to blow the doors in, even though I'm living in a reality where I'm constantly like, I'll blow you away, bitch, you know, to any little nasty rolling through the house. There has been a time when I needed to do so that I felt like I could still do it. Don't get me wrong, but I did feel a little rusty. I did feel like, ooh, I should stretch this out a little bit more often.
Well, and that's the beauty of the ritual component of having these, like, no, you technically don't need anything else. Mm-hmm. But when you allow yourself these rituals, it gives a physical, tangible, like, addition to your focus, as well as energetic input, if you believe in that, and the tools that you're using, giving an input of their own essence. Mm-hmm. But it's also, it creates ritual. And there's so much power in ritual. And there's evidence about it. Like, since dawn of time, mm-hmm. ritual has meant something to us, and yeah. it has a power of its own. And I think that's the beauty of these components we can put together and assemble, because we craft a ritual that way, even though, yeah, we could do it in our minds, but it's nice seeing it come together.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I also think it's validating to us to have something, like you said, tangible to work with, versus sometimes when we are working in our mind, it can be a little bit like, am I just pretending to waterbend right now? You know, it's like, am I just throwing my arms around like a cartoon yeah. character? You know, like, am I doing something here? But you do mm-hmm. bring up a really good point of not necessarily bringing back something we used to do, but like how it has evolved into what we do now. You know, that necessary, you know, for example, for me, like not necessarily having to bring back the cards if that's not my thing, but realizing like, oh, okay, you know what? It was nice when it was there, but now I have this fire thing, you know, and I know that that's my shit. And yeah, sure, it'd be cool to bring back the cards to, like, do every once in a while. But to see what you used to do, what it has turned into, is maybe a better question. And that's what I'm trying yeah. to actually kind of think on right now. But I will move on to the next point of my notes, which was just, I haven't done shower magic, like, and getting ready magic in a long time. And there was a point.
That was a biggie for you.
Dude, there was a point in time where it was, like, my makeup was fucking charged and ready to go, and it was like putting on an armor, you know, and my clothing. I tried to, you know, I'm not particularly fashionable, but like I would try to like work with color correspondences or whatever, what have you. And it was a biggie for me. The kind of care and keeping of myself is something that is sometimes hard for me to do. And it made it easier for me to do those things, and therefore in doing those things made it easier. It was a cyclical kind of thing mm-hmm. that would go on. And I haven't done it in a long time. And I actually just remembered that that was even an option. Like, do you ever just not yeah. think of something?
Isn't that crazy?
For so long, fall out for you. Hold on. Wait, I could
totally forget. I could do as this. An option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a
weird. Brains are weird.
Yeah. It's like, what did my brain knock that out to make space for? I know it was nothing useful.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's all like croquet balls up there.
Yeah.
Like one of them just gets bonked way out and that's what got kept.
I'm going to move you to like the deep storage room so that I can remember the mm-hmm. lyrics to like Skibbity Toilet or something. I don't know.
Why do lyrics get so much room?
Why do lyrics?
I won't even know it, but I will listen to something that I've not heard in years and they're all right there.
Dude,
they're just waiting.
Almost makes me mad. Yeah. I, you know, everyone's got recently their Spotify Wrapped list, and they did something
yeah.
that I thought was kind of cool this year. They have this like AI DJ, and it's kind of fun because it kind of brings back the entertainment value of listening to the radio, and it gives a little bit more cohesion than just throwing on shuffle where you might be listening to like the saddest songs you've ever heard, and then out of nowhere it's like, shake that ass, bitch, and let me see what you got.
Yeah. Is this like when you get like egg punk and all that shit?
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like he'll kind of be like, okay, here's some things you were listening to in 2022. You know, let's throw it back a little bit to that. But mine went, because I've had my Spotify for a long time. They really dug yeah. in. They were like, here's some things you were listening to in 2017. And it took me down like my most listened of 2017. And there were songs that I've forgotten existed, that I was every beat, every lyric, like carved yep. into my brain.
You remember.
And that's not fair, because I feel like I only have a certain amount of cells knocking around, and I don't need to dedicate that much to some fucking stupid internet remix or whatever is going on at the time.
I would really like to be better at accounting.
Yeah. If I could like budget or like make a grocery list, oh man, that'd be sick, dude. If I could remember what you're supposed to do if you have an oven fire, baby, I'd be unstoppable.
Nope. Instead, you're remembering the lyrics to fucking I Turned My Camera On.
Oh my God. Listen here. That one, when it crops up, it's like a shot in between my eyeballs. I just hear that.
That bass line.
Bum, bum, bum. I'm like, yep. Oh, fuck.
Hell yeah.
And I just about always think of you when that song comes on. Just the way I think of Lyra when Call On Me comes on. Call on me, call on me, call on me. That one.
See, we've had this discussion. I tried to explain to you I wasn't familiar with that song. And you acted like I had been beamed off from a different planet.
I don't believe you. Listen, I know we talked about your shitty internet, but like, it wasn't that shitty. You were alive and breathing. You heard it.
I just missed it, dude.
No, you're not allowed. Not that one. Anyway, wow.
I know one of the biggest ones that I think that I don't do anymore, or that has changed, if we're talking about the ways that it has changed, and we've talked about this before, but it is in the warding of my home.
Yes.
And property. Like, oh, it's still done, but it's my house is full of ghosts.
Like, yeah.
Full
Can
of
you
ghosts.
Imagine? Dude, I remember there was a time where you would spiritually basically bleach your house.
With pride.
Yeah. And that's fine. That is fine if that's, you know, your jam, if that's the way you want to go. But I'm just like, what if like 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, Macy heard you say that just now, you'd be like, you let them in?
Yeah. I don't really know when the turning point, my brain tells me the turning point was the little boy in the room, sitting in the room. And because I remember feeling no fear and knowing he's going to move on.
Yeah.
And I was just like, after that, it was like, well, what's the point of, I mean, obviously it came here for just a moment's respite, you know, like what, it's not hurting anything.
Right.
And so now weird stuff happens all the time. And like, we just are so used to it. Hunter's so used to it. We'll just be like in the living room and just hear like a whole calamity of shit fall from a different room. And we just kind of look at each other and then just there it is. Go about our business.
Well,
you know, whatever.
I also feel like I was going to say your house. It's your house. But also the land, your mom's house, just that whole like section of plot of land out there. It's so active or plugged in or however you want to say it that
it's fairyland.
I feel like you trying to keep the ghosts out is like a Sisyphean project. Like you can't, it's not going to work.
I don't think it's healthy.
Yeah.
It's a waste of energy.
Right.
Especially when you just kind of put a filter up, put like a sieve up. You know, or a sieve, and be like, all right, those of y'all that just want to come in here and chill and take a load off or maybe help keep an eye on the place all the while. Sure, bud. Like, I don't really have an issue with you, but if you're going to come in and cause problems or kind of tank the vibe, you can't come in. Like, I don't. And that's it. And it's helped so much. And there's stuff here all the time because it's rarely humans. There's not really human. The boy was one of the only human entities I've ever seen.
That is interesting.
But it's other dudes.
I contacted you recently for a non-human because I'm opposite. I'm used to the people rocking in and out. There's one right now in this room with me, very intent listening. But like something rocked through and I was like, I don't think this is something I'm used to. And I wrote you and I could hear you basically crack your knuckles over the phone. Like over text, you were just like, all right, we're in my fucking ball field now. Let's go.
I'm ready, bro. They're interesting. And a lot of them are cute. Like my little stair creatures. They're only black silhouettes and I only ever barely see them, but they live on the stairs. They like it better when I keep the stairs clear. So I don't try to let the stairs get too messy because like, that's their domain.
Don't trip us to death.
Yeah. And they just live on the stairs and they look out the windows. Like that's just what they do. That's who they are. And I'm glad they're there.
I feel a kinship with that. Cause I know the stairs that you speak of. And I feel like as a kid, when that was grandma's house, that was one of my favorite places to just be. and check it. Yeah. And just sort of, because you can see a lot from those stairs. You can see into the kitchen, you see outside, you see up the stairs. There's that air vent there that me and Russ used to stick our faces in all the time and smell the Freon or whatever. which I'm sure is so good for the brain.
Just all the dust and fiberglass from the air ducts.
And, dude, I still, when I get a whiff of that, like, AC smell, it shoots me back. Like, that's so Raven. I just shoot into my own eyeball and I just sort of have a moment. Anyway, that's basically it for me. I just sort of wanted to talk about, and I'm glad that we did, because I feel like I have had like this epiphany while we were talking. I'm like, it doesn't have to be about bringing it back. It could be about evolution. So that's nice. Yeah. But I would like to hear, maybe we'll get a thread going. Maybe somebody else will do the hard work for us and get a thread going and we'll just pin it. Of things that you did in the early witch days. And I always try to say early witch because I know baby witch freaks some people out.
I don't like it. Yeah.
You don't like it? I don't have a firm stance on it. I don't, because
I just don't use the word baby. I've never called a partner babe.
I was going to say, I couldn't see
I don't call
you.
My friends babe. I don't.
You call him, if you walked in the room and called Hunter baby, I would be like, that's a replacement. She has been snatched.
It's never stuck for me. So baby wit. Just, I don't like the word baby.
Baby.
I don't like
Macy
it.
Macy hates children so much.
I don't even like the word
baby. That's not true. You're good with kids, yada yada. Anyway,
it's
wow. Okay, so that's me. So I think we move into the time. We move into the times of sponsorship.
Sponsorship. Why does everything
come back?
God. Every three-syllable word. Return sponsor. Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
And also friend of the guest friend of the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Before. Talking Amber Energy Services today. And listen, get ready to put on your learning hats.
Yes. We need to have a discussion later about what style of hat is a learning hat, but that can wait, because right now we're talking about a course that you can take. Listen to this. It is the Natal Astrology, a deep dive course with Amber. And by the way, if you've ever heard previous episodes where we have spoken with Amber, I believe our entire natal chart deep dive was done by Amber. I say I believe, like I don't already know. But I believe that's the episode is we titled it like our natal charts or something like that. Go listen to it if you haven't.
Blew our minds.
It is absolutely in so much detail and depth. And I listen to Macy and she listens to mine, which was, I thought, a cool way to kind of be like, kind of catch us. You know, sometimes you hear something in your natal chart and you're like, that's not me. But then somebody's like, are you sure about that?
Shut up. Yeah.
there's a course for anybody who's been wanting to learn more about this and wanting to like sharpen and hone your skills. Macy, tell me a little bit about it.
So who's this course for? Are you out there? Yes, you are. Listen. So,
are we human or are we dancer?
Or are we dancers? So, if you're just interested in learning how to read an astrological chart, which hands up for me because I still look at those and my eyes just grow a film.
I like see things about the chart that I'm like, that's got to mean something, but I don't know what. And I would love to
know. I don't know what. So, if you want to know, listen, there's absolutely a place for you here. Complete astrology beginners interested in learning from there. So that's helpful. Intermediate folks out there, you kind of know, you know what? You've got them feet in the water. Mm. They're not just wet. They've been in the water for a minute. And maybe you want to brush up and you know what? You want to be like, I'm intermediate. I want to get advanced. Oh. And then on up from there. So those that are practitioners and you're just wanting to learn the basics or, you know, go even more into there. Like, you know, if you're like a witchcraft, you're a witch.
Yeah.
But you don't know the astrology angle. Maybe you want to put this in here. This is a good way to do it. And we know that Amber knows her shit.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Like a lot. Yeah. It's for me, it is one of those situations where you are going into a course 100% trusting the person that's putting it on.
Yeah.
You know, not to say that there aren't other good courses, you know, like, but like to know for a fact already, it's like you, if you want to take a doctor course, you want to learn from Dr. House, you know. I'm saying that she's the doctor.
It's going to be syphilis, though. If that's what he's going to say.
Whatever it is, it's not. What is it? What is it? It's always, it's not lupus.
It's, yeah, it's, they always suggest lupus,
it's
though.
It's not lupus. Okay.
So I had to poke around in this course. Amber was kind enough to send it over to us so we could get a visual. And guys, this is thick. There's modules. There's whole modules, and those have audio tracks in which she has recorded courses. There's so much stuff going on here in this. So there's like all of the audio files. There is different handouts that have been created that you can use for different modules. So there's all of the module 4 handouts, which is reference guides for what is discussed in that module. So this is like a legitimate course.
Yes.
Here.
Yeah.
To where you're set up with all of the tools that you can use to actually really learn some stuff here and get a true value for the time that you're taking.
So this is, again, Natal Astrology, a deep dive. And this course is ideal for individuals seeking an in-depth, intimate exploration of natal astrology using the tropical zodiac?
Yeah.
Oh. That's the first time I'm actually logging that one into the brain. I've always said topical. And whole house and whole sign house system. And it's designed to be self-paced, providing you with, like me said, workbook, handout, audio files, and practices for independent study. I love independent study. And they will help you hone your skills. And upon completion of this course, you will view a natal chart through a refined astrological lens. Again, you'll look at it instead of just getting your dick blown off like me, going like, it looks like it's shaped like an arrow. You'll know what that means.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll know that means actual real stuff.
Yeah.
So this course is rolling at $299 USD, which that's honestly really good.
I mean, for a course, dude, and something for knowledge.
Looking at how much stuff is in here, you're going to learn so much. But WABA listeners, there is a $15 off discount. Mm-hmm. So when you do the contact email, just put in WBAH discount, all caps, and the discount will be applied to you. And you can enroll for this course in the website at amberenergyservices.com in the courses tab. And you can fill in a little contact section there to enroll. And from there, it seems like you're going to get reached out to and you work it out from there. So anyway, guys, highly recommend in the new year. Maybe you want to pick up a new skill next year.
Maybe
I love skills.
Resolution.
That's one of my favorite things when we do talk about resolutions and things like that. Skills to me are a great way to just kind of fold in new knowledge into your life.
And if you want to invest in your skills this coming up new year, the year of 2024, I don't know anymore.
I know, dude. I'm very confused.
Check out, again, that is amberenergyservices.com. Then you go to the courses tab. And don't forget to quote WABA discount in your contact email for a fat $15 off.
Whoop, whoop. Amberenergyservices.com. Learn how to read a birth chart, guys. You'd be so smart.
Birth. Give me a wide birth. Oh, I'm so excited to learn about sassafras. I love root beer.
I am for sure going to call it sarsaparilla multiple times.
That's okay.
On accident. I did not know how sarsaparilla was spelled.
It's until out of today. Pocket, by the way.
Sarsaparilla.
Nobody needs to spell
is how it is spelled
that way. That is no, sir.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? Like, I just, I looked at pronunciation. I was like, I can hear Sam Elliott saying sarsaparilla. Like, am I wrong?
No, I think it's one of those words that gaslights you with its spelling.
It's spelled really interesting. So anyway, guys, sassafras and sarsaparilla, Two different things.
Shit!
Two different guys. So, sarsaparilla is made from the sarsaparilla vine, while root beer, named because roots of the sassafras tree, were utilized.
Ooh.
So, interestingly, this is part of the
Sunset
confusion.
Sarsaparilla. That's the name. Go on. Sorry.
In what, Fallout?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yes.
My eyes actually became all pupils for just a half a second, and I had to get that out. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I know the relief. Ooh. I know the relief. It's so tasty. So there, it's okay to get a little bit confused and kind of wonder if they touch tips a little bit, sassafras and sarsaparilla, because a lot of the sarsaparilla back in the day, like labeled medicinal sarsaparilla, tonic to make your dick work better,
yes,
or whatever,
yes,
like
yeah.
all the different things that you'd get like in a saloon, you know, or whatever. It had sassafras in it. So apparently sarsaparilla on its own isn't horrible, but it's a bit earthier and a bit more bitter. So sassafras and some other shit was sometimes put in there to make it taste a little bit better.
More palatable.
So, but sassafras, sarsaparilla declined with sassafras, which we're going to get into why sassafras declined in usage in items such as food items later on. So, but before we get there, sassafras is native to North America, and it is a big chunk of North America that it grows in, especially in the States. So it's native from southwestern Maine, getting on into New York, up into southern Ontario, getting into Michigan, Illinois, Iowa, except it said extreme southeastern Iowa, which was really fun to me.
Listen, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I just don't think there's anything extreme about
it. I don't think extreme. In East Texas.
Wow.
So we're in East Texas, also getting into Central Florida. So it grows in a big old chunk of, and apparently it's extending range in certain areas. So it's just kind of creeping along. And sassafras loves it. Some more kind of open woods. Maybe we're on the edge of the woods. It needs some sunlight. It likes a moist, well-drained, sandy, loamy soil. But listen, it's a pioneer species, and it'll just fucking grow on anything. It doesn't give a shit. It'll grow along fence rows, on dry ridges. It'll grow, be one of the first things to kind of creep back after a fire. It'll take it. It'll grow in pure sand, just pure sand, or it can grow like up in 4,000 feet up in the Great Smokies, in the rockier soils of it. So it'll live. It'll be fine. But it seems that the size of it and shape of the tree varies depending on the conditions that it's in. I think with the biggest being in the Great Smoky Mountains. But a lot of the ones, oftentimes it's kind of a smaller, little shrubbier type tree. A little spindly.
Resisting the urge to sing Big Rock Candy Mountain. Because
of what? The Great Smoky Mountains?
Smoky, yeah, every time.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So sassafras is often, you can identify sassafras pretty easily because it's got some pretty notable leaf shapes going on. So it's got three different leaf shapes potentially on the same tree, which is called a heterophyllal. And there's single lobe leaves where it's got the little fat butt and tapers to a point where it connects to the tree.
Cute.
Also two lobed, also called mitten shaped, and three lobed, which looks like little dinosaur feet. So cute. It's got different shapes on the same tree. And I remember, so the first sassafras tree I was ever aware of seeing was actually on your dad's property, and he showed it to me. We were
lots
walking
of sassafras
around
out there. Yeah,
there's sassafras out there, and Tony was, he showed it to me, and he said, he was like, you can pretty much damn near just pull it out of the ground. They don't have a very deep root system. And I thought that was interesting. When I looked it up today, I see what he meant by that. Huh. So the roots not only are shallow, but they grow laterally, meaning they more kind of grow in a mat-like fashion, not growing down, but growing out and kind of weaving together that way.
Like a mat.
But, I mean, you can like kick that tree over, you know, if you're feeling spicy, probably.
Do you remember on the there's that one season of Alone, I don't remember which one it is, but there's this person on there that I sent you, and it's just they are laser and they just ripped a tree out of the ground. Do you remember that?
No.
Okay. Okay. Sorry, I have to mute.
I believe it.
And cough.
Dude, Laser on Alone would be a gift.
It was basically this person, and she left very soon because bears.
I remember.
Came.
I remember.
Okay. Yeah.
I remember.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
But
yep,
there
yep.
was that Early demonstration on. Of how to rip a tree out of the ground. That was so laser, I couldn't handle it.
It's awesome. So it's nice that the roots are shallow and kind of lateral because the roots are where a lot of the goods come from, and it makes it for easier harvesting with them being on up close. And apparently the best time is winter time because that's when most of the goods are stored. The sap, it's all in the roots, so you can harvest them then and get the most juice.
Yum.
I guess. Let's talk about these roots and what's stored in them, because sarsaparilla really isn't as common of a treat as it once was. So the cinnamon-colored bark of the roots contains safrol, which is an aromatic oil, and it is big-time loved and appreciated in the perfume industry. Everyone's got a spicy scent going on.
Can you, what's the name of it one more time?
Safrol, S-A-F-R-O-L-E. Huh. And the scent is said to be a combination of star anise, cinnamon, citrus, and vanilla, which sounds
really good.
Great. Yeah. The root bark has been used for fucking ever to flavor teas. And then later on, soft drinks, it was used to flavor, which is where we started getting our root beer, as well as different beers. The extracted oil has been used again in the perfume industry, as well as scenting candles and soaps. However, safrol is considered a carcinogen and has been banned for human consumption by the Food and Drug Administration since the 1960s. I think it was, I saw that date flow 60s and 70s, and then I also saw 1958, but around that time. Okay. And so what?
Yeah.
You know, here's the,
that's what has concerned me.
I've got an eyebrow raised at this whole situation. So this just really seems to go for the roots, because phyllo powder, which is made from the leaves, is totally fine and it's still sold. And we'll talk about that later. But it seems, following like a study in the 60s, it showed to be a carcinogen to rats, deemed that it increased cancer risk in correlation with the amount of ingestion. So all of your fave root beer brands today are likely using sassafras flavoring, or it seems some use a safrol-free sassafras. Oh. So it's like an extracted kind of changed property of it.
Well, but hell, that ain't real.
But here's what's neat about this study, at least from what I could find. I kind of dug around on this because it seems even in reputable places, it's like, you know. But what seems odd is that there's a fair amount of kind of side eye given to this original kind of study. It's this complicated deal here because, one, the rats were given apparently a shit pile of safrol. Like, I saw, like, a person would need to be chugging, like, so many gallons of root beer, like, in a year. Like, an absolute shitload of it to make it all net out the same. And I think they were also getting injected with pure safrol versus getting it in, you know, a solution, like, which would be, like, root beer or something And so there's a lot of belief and opinions that, especially from those I saw in, like, the herbalism avenue, you know, that have been utilizing sassafras for generations, is that it might be because safrol is a List 1 chemical for the Schedule 1 drug MDMA, a.k.a. Molly.
Okay.
So purchasing high amounts of safrol.
Pause. Mm. Molly is Schedule 1?
Yeah, dude, it's like a party drug.
Schedule 1?
Oh, yeah. Well, so is weed.
Those are both stupid to me. Okay.
There's a lot of, it's all dumb.
I'm just saying, but you're putting weed and Molly up there
on the same level as heroin. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Really totally works as a system.
That's a whole different podcast. But all right. Go on, man.
But so if you purchase high amounts of Safrole, listen, you're getting on a list for sure. Even though you're allowed to complete the transaction. So while sale is allowed, all sale is monitored by the DEA. And the U.S. isn't the only country that it has banned or been banned in. However, when I was looking at reasons, it was a mixed bag. Some's in carcinogens and others because it's like a direct precursor to MDMA, if you know what you're doing. So
I'm sorry. That's so funny to me.
It seems, and I could be talking completely out of my ass here. I'm just a voice in your head. I don't know dick shit, but digging around and people who understand things more than me, while the initial study and a handful of subsequent ones have shown there is a slight toxicity to Safrole, it has only been in rodents and small animals, and the dosage has been like a lot. Not okay. to mention all of the other carcinogenic things that the FDA is totally cool with being in food.
Okay, yeah.
And if you want to really freak yourself out, look it up.
Don't.
You know?
Or if you're like me, forget she said that.
But like, that's what is interesting, you know, because you have a lot. And this is kind of where we're going to get into the long-term usage, like what has been, how this has been utilized for a very, very long time, because Native people have been using sassafras in a myriad of ways for generations upon generations. So all I'm saying is it just kind of seems it's in the efforts to keep it a more controlled substance. Mm-hmm. But, and like the carcinogenic effects are like on par with a lot of other shit that everybody's totally cool with. It just seems odd. That's all I know. That's like all a lot of people seem to think.
Boil. Whoa. Excuse me. Jesus. Sorry, I turned into a very old woman. Seems if you boil anything down to its essence and inject it in mass quantities, it's probably not great.
It's not going to be ideal. No, I think it's never great. So,
but I'm not a doctor.
Some of the... I don't know anything. Mm. Yeah, it just seems sus. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. It seems like there might be an ulterior motive here.
Eyebrow raise.
So here is this is from Cornell Botanical Gardens. Indigenous people have long known that sassafras leaves are edible. The Choctaw, whose traditional homeland includes Mississippi, Louisiana, and parts of Alabama, and the panhandle of Florida, are known for using dried, powdered sassafras leaves to thicken soups and stews. During the 18th century, enslaved West Africans in Louisiana melded their rich food traditions with Native American and European culinary influences, resulting in Louisiana Creole cuisine.
Okay.
So, filet is this powder that is made from the dried leaves of the sassafras tree. And so, there is apparently a difference here. There is there's fevi gumbo, which is probably said in like a Creole way that I am not saying right. And there's fevi gumbo and filet gumbo. Fevi gumbo is thickened with powdered fevi gumbo is thickened with okra. Goddamn. And filet is thickened with sassafras.
Okay.
So just some differences there. Just a little bit of fun fact. So Native American tribes, including the Cherokee, Chippewa, Choctaw, Creek, Delaware, Oklahoma, Iroquois, Mohegan, and Seminole, to name a few. There's so many more. Like this is there's very rich usage of the sassafras tree with Native Americans. And so this is just to name a few. The medicinal uses of sassafras by Native Americans are many. The infusions made from the bark of the roots can be taken internally, preventative to ward off fevers, as well as treating diarrhea, rheumatism, measles, scarlet fever, blood purification.
Okay.
Infusions were used as cough medicine, mouthwash, or gargles. All like seriously, so many different things, helping to reduce fevers in women after giving childbirth, washing for eye sores, decoctions used to treat heart troubles, rheumatism, tapeworm treatments when mixed with whiskey. So, I mean, it just really goes on and on and on and on. Poultices rubbed onto things. The leaves make poultices for bee stings, wounds, cuts, all sorts of stuff like that. Nosebleeds were treated with a decoction from the pith of new sprouts. Oh. So I don't know what the pith is.
Isn't that the, excuse me for sniffling so much. I'm trying to not. I've got a little bit of the rhinorrhea going on. Isn't the pith, I could be wrong, but you know, like when you peel an orange, the white shit, isn't that pith?
I don't know. I believe it. Could be wrong. It sounds like a word that would be used to describe that. Seems like it would be pith.
Pith on you.
And the branches were used in decoctions to make or to dress burns. Bark was used to help purify funeral services or kind of purify after funeral services. Oh. It really goes on treating of gallstones, bladder pain. And that's just medicinal reasons. There's also a myriad of food construction, home purposes. And this was all from the USDA. So it seems a lot of this was going on and they were fine. So do with that what you will. But I did see this delightfully vague bit on the DEA
website.
So, per federal regulations, each handler shall report to the DEA special agent in charge of the local DEA office the following information. And this was just bullet one, and it's all I needed. Any regulated transaction involving an extraordinary quantity of safrole. What does that mean? What's an extraordinary quantity?
Extraordinary. How many pigs is that?
Yeah, give me a unit, please. Is how many excavator buckets? I don't know.
Yeah.
So
how many handfuls?
There's again. Yeah, it could be anything. It's so vague, ridiculous. And there's a community of people giving the big old middle finger to this whole ruling and making their own root beer from individual components, ordering the sassafras, making their own fucking root beer and saying, fuck you, I'm going to do it.
Whoa.
Because you can make it yourself. And I'm curious to know if any of you have done this and made it. Was it good? Did you die? And I feel like it's just going to be better than flavored root beer because I love root beer. It's my favorite of the sodas. If I'm going to drink a soda, I'm getting root beer. I love it. Mm. It's wonderful. Mm. However, I sometimes wonder if they're just making it a little bit too wintergreeny, because they do add wintergreen and root beer. Wintergreen has long been added into root beer blends and drinks. But sometimes it's a bit much. And I'm like, if they were using real full sassafras, would this be as much as it is? You know?
Yeah.
I just wonder. Because and it wasn't something I thought about as much until when I was working at the big cat sanctuary. There was an intern there from Spain, and I watched her drink root beer for the first time. And she was like 22, you know. So I watched her drink it, and she immediately grimaced and said, it tastes like toothpaste.
I think about that all the time.
She's right.
Yeah.
Because, like, and I love root beer, but every now and again I'll drink it. I'm like, fucking, that's toothpaste. That's pure toothpaste.
Never picked up on the mintiness, even though it's so in your face. I never
picked up. Once you know about it.
Once you think about it and go, oh, that kind of is toothpaste-y. Never thought about it until then.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So let's talk metaphys.
Yes.
Let's talk about the metaphysical. Sassafras has been called by many names, and these names can be different things, and you can learn about it. So the og tree, or ague, I've heard it pronounced both. So I'm listening.
Augustus, thank you.
I'm listening to the Indifferent Stars Above, and I think he calls it the ague, but it is A-U-G-E. But like, I've read historical fiction before to where like when people came over to the New World, they would just like colonizers, they would get the aug. And it's like, you get really fucking sick. And some people say it might just be fucking malaria.
Oh.
The aug tree makes sense. This is a highly medicinal tree. So it was named that. Saxifrax? Which is tight.
Okay, I will never call it anything else.
Yeah, saxifrax. Super into that. Cinnamon wood. Also Ooh, cool.
Very cool.
Sloop.
No. Sloop? Yep.
Sloop. Sloop. S-A-L-O-O-P. Sloop.
Sloop. That's an onomatopoeia.
I love it. Yeah, I just want to just walk. So, just walking around.
Nice.
smelling stick, chewing stick, tea tree, Winnock.
What?
Which was a Native American name from the Delaware and Virginia regions.
Tea tree?
Tea tree, yeah, apparently was a folk nickname for it. Kombu from the Choctaw and Wayanoke from the Algonquins. So they're different names, especially because, again, we mentioned this was highly utilized by Native American people, still is. So it's, you get those names in there as well that were utilized, like an AKA, especially back in, like, when you read, like, colonizer documents, like Winnock was what it was commonly being called, which is a Native American name for it. So these names are rooted in that, because also so many different tribes utilized it and, you know, found so many uses. So sassafras has a reputation for being lucky. And the origins of this are kind of interesting, at least from, like, lucky to the colonizers. So when they rolled on over here, sassafras was one of the first commodities to be like, we got to ship this shit back. This stuff is like a gold mine, you know? And
this is ours now.
Interestingly, the ships of sassafras shipped back to Europe, rarely anything bad happened to them. They had a pretty good success rate getting back there. And so kind of some luck, you know, kind of the European opinion began to be kind of like, this is some lucky shit, you know, going around this wood, and it would be utilized as such. So it would even be put into new ships as a good luck charm, utilizing some sassafras wood to build into new ships to help hopefully keep disaster at bay. All kinds of stuff. Like, so some people would, like, put it in babies' cribs.
Oh.
And, you know, things like that. And
seems intense.
Bible boxes, which I feel like the Bible should be safe on its own. I don't know. But
the Bible should be its own good luck charm, I think.
Yeah, I feel like that's, but what do I know?
If you got faith in it.
But along with this, it is also, it was also touted in these early days as a health tonic. And much of this original knowledge coming from the native peoples who were using it. And it was a wonder drug. It'll cure fucking anything. I think of, like, dry Pirelli's miracle elixir. Oh. Like, this is what I think of. Like, when he's selling his piss, but it's with sassafras. But, like, you know, everybody, like Sweeney Todd, when you just, they're like, yeah, it's going to make your hair grow back.
Yes.
Sure.
What are you those? Know, but this was during that on our live show, snake oil salesman.
Yeah. And this was, like, big time going on with that shit back in the day. Be like, listen, this will just fix your syphilis. Yeah. but it won't.
Okay.
It won't, though. Yeah.
You're going to be sorely disappointed, man.
No, yeah, sorely being the right word. Yeah, everything's going to fall off of you.
Your dick first.
Yeah, you're coming right off. Then didn't your nose fall, or is that leprosy? I think leprosy is when your nose goes after it's gone on for too long. It's all bad.
It's all, yeah, I don't want any of it.
All bad. So anyway, healing tonic booms, big time going on. They're putting sassafras in it. People are drinking it, using it, all kinds of shit.
Drinking it, using
sassafras
it.
has a nice place in folk magics as well as conjure practices such as hoodoo, where it has pretty big ties from what I could see in growing and maintaining, preserving of wealth. Mm. So that seemed to be a pretty common thread that I could see, as well as ensuring preserved health. Native Americans distinguish between white sassafras and red sassafras. So that is still something that you might see today. And there's also distinctions I saw. I looked at some different, like, hoodoo shops, and I would see red and white. So the differentiation was there as well. And so you get some differences there in regards to perhaps it might be metaphysically applied. It was believed in folk magic way back then, it's going to ward off chicken lice. You don't want your chickens to have lice.
Cute.
Fuck that. That sounds miserable. So they would put it in the coops, part of the construction, as it would help. The leaves were used, and maybe the bark. I didn't write the bark down, but I feel like it's got so much aroma going on, but it might stain. I don't know. They would put some of the plant in with clothes to keep the bugs away over wintertime, like when you did, but you just did it wrong.
Yeah.
I love that story, so dude. I was thinking about it the other day, and I was just imagining you so excited opening up to look at all your good preparation and just getting rewarded with a shit sandwich.
Yeah, it was so smelly. There was no bugs.
No bugs in anywhere.
Nothing living came near that box.
No. No. And so we know sassafras is its most robust in the Great Smoky Mountains. It grows the biggest, it grows the thickest. And so I was like, there's gonna for sure, like along, of course, with like the Native American uses, there's gonna be some Appalachian like folk shit going on with sassafras. I'm sure of it. And there is. So got some interesting ones that we have here. So it could be recommended as an amulet. Wearing pieces of the sliced root around the neck was said to aid in the pain of teething babies. So when babies were teething, using a charm of sassafras root around the neck, or just carrying the charm to prevent illness, because there's a big illness prevention going on with sassafras. It's like deep in every usage of
it. Here, baby, chew on this cancer stick.
And interestingly enough, there's some, from what I could tell, and this seemed, I only saw this regionally, said to be in like the Kentucky area of Appalachia, but burning it there was not, it was deemed unlucky. You didn't need to burn it. Use it in other ways, because listen, if you burn it, it might cause the people's mules and horses to die. So you don't want to do that.
I wasn't expecting those words. Okay, yeah. Okay.
It's serious. Yeah, yeah, it's really serious business.
Yeah.
In a blend of medicinal and metaphysical, sassafras tea is drank still, to help get the blood moving and remove the funk of winter. Now, this seems to be such a deep Appalachian region thing.
I feel like I've even heard of this.
And this is
the
concept of the spring tonic.
And something to shake the frost, as it were.
Yeah. I like this concept. So oftentimes the spring tonic recipe might be passed down from family member to family member, you know, kind of granny to granny, in this the granny work and granny magic kind of way of so much of Appalachia, which is amazing. And passed down, though,
are we biased? The spring tonic.
I'm biased, one, because it's our roots, and two, because I'm still just dick deep in old gods of Appalachia.
Yeah.
And it's...
Are you reading...
It's just doing things.
Oh, no. I was thinking American gods. Never mind. Two very separate.
So different. Yeah.
I got through the... not I got through, but I just wrapped up listening like the first seven or so episodes of Appalachia in the correct order this time.
Yeah. It... Dude. Unreal. It's so good. But... I liked the way that this was described, is that it kind of made for the reason of, you see the blood in the body like sap in a tree. And in the wintertime, sap goes down deep into the roots where it goes cold and still. And come spring, it needs to rise, no longer being held and protected in the roots.
Right,
it needs
out.
To rise so it can thrive. Yeah. And the tonics are believed to do the same, waking the body back up and getting the sap moving again. And I know we've got a whole bunch of Appalachian listeners out there. I would love to know if this is something that you guys know about, have had dealings with, or knew a relative that makes it, or you yourself has made it and you took it. What all went in it? What does it taste like?
Also,
I'm curious.
Do you want to host me and Macy to come visit? Just.
Yeah.
You got like a guest plate? Okay. All right.
Yeah, you got like a mother-in-law suite or something that we can just camp out in for
like
a little while.
In the backyard?
I'll take it.
Listen,
I'm fine with that, too. Whatever. If you got some cool animals, you got some sweet little, like, I don't know, goats or donkeys or shit, to throw that in there, I'm there. I'm in.
Send your application in photos. Photo form, please.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And, but anyway, when we're looking at sassafras, we can boil it down to protection against baddies, protection against illness, and a protector of wealth, and protector of luck, or manifester of luck. So while it seems that the FDA and the DEA collectively have shit on sassafras, it seems there's people out there that speak highly still of utilizing this plant as medicine, have for generations. I've said that word a lot, but this is a very generational plant. And it's big. It's a loving tree. That's so often what I saw. This is a loving tree. It's a giving tree.
The giving
tree. And I don't want to think about it. Mm. And so you can. I don't want to think about that book.
Think about that asshole. Oh,
fuck that kid. Ugh. Fuck that fucking kid. Piece of shit. So you can make your own opinions on sassafras. Whether you want to drink it or not can depend on your own research. Again, I don't know anything. I host a podcast with you, my cousin.
Yeah.
And however, this is a tree with a rich history, no matter what. And many people that utilized it with high reverence, a tradition still continuing on today. And I think that's the biggest takeaway. And you can still get it. If you don't want to consume it, I get it. That's fine. But the wood and the leaves can be utilized magically as well. And maybe you want to throw some of them leaves or a little bark or whatever in a charm bag. Maybe you want to carve a wand out of some of the wood, or runes, make a rune set out of it. Use a leaf, like leaf spell, or as you're grinding up the leaves to make the filet powder, like to thicken, if you're making a soup that needs thickener, like imagine that is the glue holding your spell together. Ooh. You know, like that, as you grind it together and put it in your stew or whatever, like it is the agent that ties all of the essences together to make it something new. You can get so creative with, especially with kitchen magic.
Everybody's so creative.
But you can. That's what's so cool about it. I love plant magic and things like that, because it's just like literally however you want to use it. And the leaves are fine, apparently. So there's not really any notable saffron in the leaves. So it's like what's up for debate is the roots.
Okay.
And you can use the leaves as a strewing herb. Strew them all over the house. And then as you sweep them up and out, just kind of imagine them taking that illness and negativity out with them, or perhaps, you know, hooks that are kind of money draining you. Cause we've talked about that. Sometimes it's just like, you feel like your money situation is like a boat full of holes.
Brother, like I checked my bank.
Everything breaks at once.
I checked my bank the other day and I was $4. And I know it's just $4, but listen, that shit piles up. I was $4 less than I was for the past couple of days without spending a dime. And there was no $4 transaction in my bank. I swear to you, that shit is real. Money hemorrhaging in like a magical way is real. I don't care what you
goes
say.
Away.
It's real. Yeah.
And sometimes shit can just like, we've noticed it before, like it just all happens at once. Like there was the one particular string when we had like the car AC go out, the hot water heater go out, Hunter had to cut the floor out of the bathroom. Like all this shit happened in like a 9-month spell. Mm-hmm. And it was like $4,000, you know? Yeah. And it was just like, Jesus fucking Christ, can something not break? And it just kind of feels like that, especially in your home, if you have home things that are breaking. So use it as a string or throw it around, kind of let it soak for a minute, and then sweep it all out and kind of be like, I'm sweeping out these, you know, negative things that are causing these things to break or fail. And I'm sweeping out, you know, the illness and things like that. String herbs are cool. I really like that concept a lot. You can put some sassafras, whether it be leaves or whatever, you can put it on a candle for a candle spell. Grind it on up. It's versatile is the thing. So even if you don't want to make a tea out of it and drink it, you can use it for lots of different ways. Magically, lots of power that has been recognized for a long time. So lots of uses. Anyway, there it is. That's sassafras.
Oh.
Or saxifrax.
Dude, or what was the other one? Swoop? Sa-whoop?
Sa-whoop. Let me look. That's not it. But saloop.
Saloop. Yeah. I love that. Saloop. Very cool.
Big fan.
Fan.
Yeah.
Wow. My goodness.
Yeah.
I love this one in particular because there are saloop trees everywhere. And I really want to just go and ask one for a bushel of leaves and strew them about the floor and just let it soak, let it marinate.
Oh, let it soak it all up. Especially like if like you've just had like a sick house.
Oh, and I have. Lately. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just like get it all out there, man.
Hello, tree. Would you like to give me some of your leaves to soak up the remnants of the vid? Thank you.
Of the ill? Of the og?
The og! I think auger. When you say that, you know, like the little, like the drill.
Which makes me think of Twisted Metal, because one of my favorite characters in Twisted Metal was the auger, and it was like you had the drill on the front, and you were like construction equipment.
What's the main, Sweet Tooth was the ice cream truck with
the clown head on the top.
Did you watch the movie and or show that came out recently?
I did not, because as someone who grew up playing the OG Twisted Metal 1 and 2 on the old gray PlayStation 1.
Whoa.
Twisted Metal only got worse with each release. Like, it really did. Like, even with its shitty graphics, like, in the beginning, especially Twisted Metal 2, which is, I think, the one with the entire Rob Zombie soundtrack, which fucking kills. Whoa. It was great, but the longer it went on, they tried to overcomplicate it. It's like the game needed to stay simple, like Road Rash 64, and the first ones are. But like later, it's like it got worse. So by the time the movie and everything kicked, because I remember I played the fourth one, I think, and I was like, this is not it. This isn't good. And maybe the fifth. I don't remember. I've played all, but one and two are where it's at.
Okay,
great time.
I'll take that.
Yeah, Twisted Metal, 2000. Year 2000, maybe. 1999? I don't know.
Hold on, I gotta find it out. OG Twisted Metal. What would you say? It was the PlayStation?
And PlayStation 1. Yeah, the little gray one with the round buttons.
Here we go. Twisted Metal. Oh, it's just a video for gameplay. Oof, that looks a lot different than I remember it. Listen, are you ready for this?
Oh, it's terrible.
1995. Mm.
Damn, I believe it. I mean, like, seriously, I grew up playing it. Like,
dude, this was a year after you were born onto the earth.
Yeah. We never had that system. We had it over at my dad's. And so we would go, and Rustin would play. And so me and Rust would just play the fuck out of Twisted Metal. Like, from when I was probably just old enough to hold a controller, I was playing Twisted Metal. And so it's one of my favorites.
Your intro.
Yeah, that was my intro to gaming.
God, Sweet Tooth looked different.
And it was so much fun because, like, there's the battle free-for-all, and Shadow was cool. Shadow was the hearse. I also liked Axel, which was fun. I loved it. It was such a fun game. And like you could play the one player way, or you could do the free for all and just kill each other. But if you played the one player way, if you beat it, you got your story at the end, and you had like Calypso, who kind of like exercised genie logic to where if you made it to the end of this game, you could get one wish from Calypso, but he always would twist it, you know? And so like you get to see what your character's story, you knew it was going to end bad because they all get fucked, but you're like, how does my character get booked? And so you like play to see how Calypso ruins their days.
Nice. I love that. I love
it was
a
fun.
Good
yeah, it was really fun.
I love a good what's the epilogue to a video game. Like I love the Eternal Champions epilogue, or you know, the story.
That was awesome.
About your characters, you know. I love that. Good. Bring back
and you're driving around
story.
You're driving around shooting at your siblings to dig through the ditches and burn through the witches. And you're just like,
oh, dude, it kills. So good. Creating core memories. There. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. Hell yeah.
Wow. Charlie from the future. In editing, I noticed that something wackadoo happened and Macy's microphone sounds like this for the rest of the time. Don't know what happened. Big shrug emoji. We're almost done, guys. So sorry. I've the whole time you've been, I've just kind of been on mute. I've had like the select screen rolling through on YouTube over here, just looking at the different cars.
We gotta Twitch that.
What a time. We gotta Twitch. Oh my god, dude. We gotta come up with like a short list of our games that we gotta do.
I'm so stoked. I'm so excited. Y'all sound off. Tell us what you want. Show me what you want.
Please, 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 please. Show me what you... Yeah. You did it already. And then I got there and I was like, oh, shit, I can't do it. All right, dudes, please let us know. I forget all the questions we asked of you this episode. There were a lot, but pop off about them, please. And join us next week. Next week, Wednesday, is Yule. So we'll have an episode then. And I've got a little treat coming. So it's a little Yule time treat next episode. So please be sure to tune
in. Cute. Also that night, guys, we are doing our annual Coven Wide Live 3 a.m. in the morning. Yeah. So we're getting up, and this is also a good time for us to get to connect with a lot of y'all.
Did you just say 3 a.m. in the morning?
Yeah, I did. It's redundant. I know. But I just feel like I have to clarify because I'm saying the words at 3 a.m. we're doing a live. And so it's mostly for me just to remind myself. But it's
just to be like, what?
It's a great time. I love doing it. It's a good time every year. We get to hang out with our international beans, which is nice because that's usually all the rope. So I'm ready. I'm looking forward to it. That'll be really the morning of the 22nd, I guess, if we're being proper.
If we are, it's the night in between the 21st and the 22nd. Yeah. So, however you want to quantify that. It's the 3 a.m. in between the evening of the 21st and the morning, the dawn of the 22nd. Yeah. Shit like that always confuses me. Shit like that, it gets real semantic for me, and I need a point on a map to point to. Anyway, other than that, boys and girls, we've got SimpCap coming for you, or something, this tomorrow. But we fucked up. We got to talk about this
real quick. Now we fucked up. We really did.
Now you fucked up.
We have fucked up now. He is. Sad.
He's dead now. I don't know what happened. I swear we based our release of Bridgerton season 3, I guess. I swear that's what it said on Netflix. Was like coming out this date. But we're wrong. Yeah. So our simp cap of Bridgerton season 3 will not be until, what is it now, May?
Yeah, they're doing a part 1, part 2 situation. Which I like and dislike because it's kind of nice because it spreads it out. But yeah, it's also tricky for simp cap because we can't just move on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have plenty of wimps.
But this will be better.
But we got to fill the time. Somehow we have to come up with something different now. Our plans have been rocketed.
They're rearranging.
Oh God! I am always down for a good shit brain rotting reality TV show.
We haven't done it,
but we could also
in a minute. So
not since our first one, you know. Maybe we'll do the one where everybody gets naked. And judges whether or not they're going to date based on their wieners.
I kind of want to dip my toe into MILF Manor, honestly.
Listen, I could be here for MILF
Manor. I'm curious. Like, I don't want to. Is there, it's like, going to hurt me. But, like, I want to watch it.
I guess, would it have to be the most recent season where, like, also their sons are there?
See, that's the thing. It's like, if we go in, do we just go in all the way? I guess.
I guess we gotta go in hard.
We'll find out.
Okay, we'll talk about it off
y'all screen. Pop off.
Speaking of screen, I remember that you are getting internet, and I once again...
It's gonna change everything. So. It's gonna change our lives.
Oh. Well, we will see you next week. Goodbye. Okay, shut the fuck up, Macy.